Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com video presentation. I should be showing. Oh, there I am. I knew I'd show up. Alright, so, comments and a video to respond to. So, this Alex guy, I believe that's it, Alexander. So he can make videos, but what he won't do is make a video demonstrating any of the things I've asked to be demonstrated. The things that I think get right to the subject, you know, can, you know, just point it so directly, so completely, and he won't do it, okay? And instead he wants to argue the minutiae of 16th century or 15th century language art, you know, what words meant back then. You know, to play a game, okay, and to me it's just a game, it's just absolute bullshit, because the truth is so discernible. Newton opposed Leibniz. They were mortal enemies, in fact, for numerous reasons, because Newton clearly understood that Leibniz stole his ideas, and that's how he saw it, and there's no doubt about that either. So, don't need that. Alright. Alright, so Newton describes the first, second, and third law. He describes them in language, gives a little context, and then he gives even more elaboration in terms of explaining experiments that demonstrate the laws. Now, what's lacking is some clear, okay, statement beyond the fact that when he does actually do the math for gravity, okay, it's F equals a change in your mass and velocity, you know, mass times velocity, over time. All right, now when stated on the Wikipedia page, I demonstrated that what they were saying was things like this. Net force, okay, equals, no. You don't play a game. If you're going to use the net force, then it becomes the net time. So if you want to say net force, all right, then you have to say the net time, okay? You can't get away with cheating the argument, all right, and pretending that these things don't have to match. They have to match. The time here has to match the time here if you're going to use the time. So yes, if it was net force, then you'd use the net time. Both of these would just cross out, irrelevant, all right, and all you'd be left with is F equals the mass times the velocity. Whatever the change in your mass and velocity, that's the change that the force created. Now, Newton says it, I'll show the text and we can read it, but he clearly says, so he's playing a game with this equal sign, because Newton said proportional, and the reason why he said proportional is because obviously the force of a ball bearing hitting you is quite different than the force of gravity hitting you, okay? So the force could come in these two different forms, okay? Contact with a material object or contact with a mysterious force. And so he said proportional because he doesn't know what this is, okay? He begs no opinion. He pretends no knowledge of what this stuff is. So he can't really say it equals just because he can't say what the hell this is. This isn't a quantity of motion from his perspective. This isn't matter and velocity, gravity. So I would argue it is, okay, matter and velocity, mass and velocity. And you're just absorbing it, but regardless, he couldn't say that. So he used the word proportional, but he made it clear that anything that happens, okay, if the force doubles, the action doubles, okay? So if I make two, if I double the force, I double the action, meaning that the proportionality is explicit. And he also points out that, well, if you subtract, you know, if you have a force going this way and an action going this way, that they are completely additive and subtractive. That is, this is exactly in the same units as this is, and you will end up, you know, with an equality, you know, this way and this way. But the fact is that the forces are completely convertible. So there's no doubt about Newton's, what Newton believed, what Newton understood. There was no MV squared in anything Newton thought or believed. It didn't exist, all right? And if you want to pervert what he said and say, okay, he did talk about acceleration, and he recognized that, well, of course, the you could understand the net acceleration, and you would again have to use the net acceleration. So if you're going to, and so he used the word sum, you know, so it'd be the sum. So we can understand that sum, okay, the sum of something is you do all the addition. So the sum is, an adjective, a synonym for net, okay, or total. All of those are words that you could use to describe the circumstance. So if you're summing something, then you're really talking about the total or the net. So again, just playing word games, okay? The clear problem is, as I've pointed out, when the modern physicist uses the word acceleration, they pretend, okay, that they need to say it's 60 miles per second, okay? And then they need to say per second. So they need to add another square on the seconds. And that's the evil part. Just like if I was going to travel across the country, I was going to go 2,000 miles, right? And I said, well, I'm going to go 60 miles per hour. I don't need to say per hour. 60 miles per hour per hour. 60 miles an hour squared. I don't say that. 60 miles per hour, okay, squared. I don't do that. Nobody does that. Nobody thinks that's rational. Nobody does it. So this whole thing is contrived crap. Now, you want to defend it, as I stated, it's your business. But I have no intention of going through this minutia over and over and over again over a point that, in my opinion, is just a slander. You want to pretend Newton had any, you could convert Newton's logic into Leibniz's logic? You can't. The two of them are not compatible. The two of them are not the same logic. They're not the same reasoning. They're not the same understanding. Okay, Newton didn't believe this crap. You have chosen to believe it for no good reason. And so I'll go to the arguments you're evading, you're avoiding, you're hiding from to play this little bullshit game. All right, so this is the nonsense you're defending, okay? Deal with this simple argument, okay? I say in the physical universe, and Newton would say in the physical universe, this simple experiment can be done. You put a 10-ton train in here going 5 miles an hour, okay? It crashes into a lever right here, all right? And then you have a 5-ton train sitting on the lever over here, okay? And the fact is, Newton says, I say, logic says this leaves at 10 miles an hour, okay? Fact. This will have twice the velocity of what went in, all right? So it doesn't matter whether it's 5 tons or 5 pounds or 5 ounces or 5 milliounces. It doesn't matter what I'm using here. We're just saying we have a 2-to-1 relationship inverted, okay? Twice the mass, twice the velocity in the other case. We have the same MV. Okay, and the lever works. It converts the big M and the little V into the big V and the little M. This works. That's what Newton explicitly understood, how the universe works. You, okay, for no good reason, because of some 1700 clay experiments, okay, that were completely bogus, believe that this somehow has twice, 2x the energy. Does it or does it not? Is there some way you can explain how the lever doesn't work? It doesn't convert momentums, okay? And in fact, this doesn't happen. This doesn't go twice as fast, okay? That this lever somehow knows, even though this part of the lever, if I had another 10-ton train right here, it would leave at exactly 5. The acceleration would be the same. The deceleration would be the same. This part of the lever would move identically to how it's going to move when the 5 mass is out here. So even though it's going to be identical movement, identical speeds in terms of the over time, it will move exactly the same. This piece of the lever will move exactly the same whatever object I put on here, as long as I put it at the right increments. As long as I have the distance equal to the increase or decrease in the mass. So what's your explanation? Do you think it's possible to make free energy? Do you think your MV squared has any hope of being correct? This will happen. I mean, it's a fact that this will happen. Now, do you agree it's a fact that this will happen? The 10 mass going 5 miles an hour will create the five mass going 10 miles an hour. It will, in fact, happen. Do you really believe it's twice as much energy? In any reasonable definition of the word energy, that this can do 2x the work in the universe? That it has more capacity to do work in the universe? You have zero evidence of any of it. Okay, the implication is that it takes four times more fuel to go twice as far, twice as fast. And you're stupid enough to actually believe also that if I'm shooting a rocket, okay, into space, that I have to use four times the energy to go four times the distance. When, oh, no, the fact is that I can get higher and higher yield, I can get better and better gas mileage the further I shoot, the further I go. The fact is I can go four times the distance with only twice the fuel because all I need is twice the velocity. And if I have four times the velocity, then I'm doing even better per mile. So I can go from 8 miles per gallon needed, mileage rating, to 6, to 4, to 2, to 1. I can make it more and more efficient, the rocket, the faster I can lift it off the ground, the faster the initial velocity. Because you really don't understand how gravity works at all. But deal with this argument. All right, I've been making it for 2 years. This is the argument. Do you really believe that somehow this leaves it some sort of 1.4 thing? Do you really believe it leaves at less than a 0.4 increase in velocity, not even a half increase in velocity, just a 0.4, that somewhere 0.6 of the energy just disappears, the momentum, that somehow you can break conservation of momentum, which is a law, okay, that apparently you think you can break anytime you want to, because you really don't have any other choice if you do any kind of logic and reasoning. So draw the lever. Explain how your stupid, idiotic, moronic theory that you're defending can survive this simple little test. And then, if you want to really be on the subject, explain what was wrong, okay, with the Mythbusters experiment. First, they crash the cars into each other, and they crush exactly it like momentum would say. Then they do a thing where they smash some clay, and it comes out exactly what momentum would say. So why didn't kinetic energy show its face in the car crash or in the clay crush? Why in neither of those experiments is there any sign of this bullshit squared function that you say is somehow related to Newtonian physics, that you can somehow pervert rational physics into your irrational mush? And again, I'll assert the argument. The way you do it is because you don't pay any attention to these words called net and total and sum. Okay, none of those mean anything to you. And you don't care that you're saying something pretty stupid when you say 50 miles an hour per second. When it's already in the per second. You don't need another per second. Completely redundant bullshit used for the purpose to just create perverted math to slander Newton. Alright, so here's his comment to, his preface to his video. Alright. now I have to see it. Levers in force. Okay, so he says, I have made a video response addressing the second law of Newton. Well, he doesn't really address it, because the law is even in 1600s language, it's clearly discernible what Newton's saying. What you characterize as saying F equals MV, and it clearly says that. Straight from the text, his book, The Principia, we can see the second law does not even. So, the stupid computer crashed. Damn it. Gotta get this thing working better. Anyway, does not even state an equality. So it does state an equality. It describes an equality, does everything it can to make it clear it's an equality. So it's just bullshit. Okay, he uses the word proportional to be safe, and that's all. But in every word he uses to describe the circumstance, it's clear he's saying whatever the force is in, that's what you're going to get in action out. So it's just more bullshit. But refers to proportionality between change in momentum and force. Yeah, an explicit, proportionality. A very precise and complete proportionality. Anyway. Force being defined earlier in his text as F equals MA. Well, you can say that. He doesn't say F equals MA, so that's a lie. So, again, you're just distorting. Okay, he uses the word acceleration, and he uses words like sum, again, and the words like net. And so you're just playing a game with the words again. He doesn't say F equals MA in any way related to the way you're saying it, which is acceleration is somehow per second squared. Okay. He calls it motive force. He calls motion, okay, is a replacement for the word momentum. Every time he says motion, he's not saying velocity. He's not saying speed. He's saying when he says motion, he's talking about the quantity of the motion, the entire motion, the addition of the mass and the velocity. That's what he means by the word motion, as opposed to quantity of motion. No, when you want to get the number, then you go quantity of motion when you want an explicit number. When you're just talking about the motion, that's talking about the momentum. So there's a difference between saying how many foot-pounds something has and then just saying momentum, which is how he calls momentum. No, how he calls momentum is the word motion. Motion is momentum. Motion to him is always a mass moving a velocity. It's not a nothing moving a velocity. It's a something moving a velocity. So, just word games. The alteration of motion is ever proportional. So why do you think he put the word ever in? All right, should be back. Yeah, a lot of crashes today. Damn it. Anyway, all right, so we're back to this part here. The actual quote from Newton, translated from the original Latin, blah, blah, blah. The alteration of motion is ever proportional. So again, why the word ever? I mean, he's arguing it's a complete, it's, you know, this is something you can't evade, it's really a strong proportionality, you know, he's emphasizing it, to the motive force impressed. And so, you know, and clearly he uses in the subsequent language clear illustration that whatever you put in, double out. You can't get double in, double out unless the proportionality is essentially an equality. All right, and is made in the direction of the right line in which the force is impressed. Okay, not terribly. The second part is just duh. All right, so here's the link to his video. So we'll go to his video. All right, hopefully it's still recording. Anyway, so he titles the video, The Second Law States There's No Proportion. There's a proportionality, not an equality. So it doesn't say it's not an equality. It's just he uses the softer statement of proportionality, and again, there's lots of reasons you can understand why he would be cautious in making some direct statement, because the force comes in different forms. But regardless, whatever, it's just playing word games. So he starts the video by just playing me, saying, making the distinctions between
all the force, the net force,
net force, and using some other rates, you know, and saying that it equals the rate of acceleration. No, it doesn't equal the rate of acceleration. The force is going to be in the form of a rate if you use the rate of acceleration. If you're going to say the net force, then you have to use the net acceleration. And if they did that in their F equals MA, then I wouldn't have a problem with F equals MA, because acceleration is just a piece of velocity. It's the change in velocity. It's always less than the velocity, in a sense.
They are paying lip service to what Newton said, which is the sum of the actions of the accelerative force upon the several articles of the body is the motive force of the whole.
Right, there. So you read it, you stated it, it's clear that he's using sum and net, which makes perfectly good sense. Now, if you don't say sum and you just say F equals MA, well, that's not saying the same thing, and that's cheating. And I just, again, the Wikipedia page was clear. They used the word the net force, and they didn't use the word the net acceleration or the net change in the velocity. So they didn't use the same terminology on one side of the equality and on the other side of the equality. That's the huge cheat. I made my point. You're not really countering it. So he doesn't counter any of my arguments in here, okay? He's basically conceding the point that Newton is describing something that seems pretty consistent in the sense that, yes, you double the force, you double the action. You triple the force, you triple the action. You quadruple the force, you quadruple the action. So we'll just go somewhere in here where he plays another word game.
Accelerative force will stand in the same relation to the motive as celerity does to motion. Celerity means speed, means...
well, says you. It means rapidity, or it means even something like instantaneous, from what I understand, my looking up the word on, my Googling the word. So who knows exactly what he was saying? I mean, if you change it and say speed, yes, you get one kind of statement. You say rapidity, you get a different statement, but whatever. I don't think it's too critical. I mean, you know, again, this is, you're taking this old English and you're saying, I'm going to use it to your, you're going to use it to your purposes, and try to pretend he's saying something other than what he clearly describes and what he clearly draws, which is a clear equality between the force and the effect on the object. All right. So right here is the four. For the sum of the actions of the accelerative force. So the sum of the accelerative force. Okay, clearly, sum. You add them up for the net. Okay, upon the several articles of the body. That means the whatever the body is made of, the mass. Okay, is the motive force of the whole. Come on, not complicated.
Velocity. So he's saying that the accelerative force will stand in the same relation to the motive.
Of course, that's exactly what he's saying. The force is the change in your momentum. We're not changing the masses, so clearly he understands that, yes, if you in all these cases, and especially the case he's describing where he's talking about gravity, clearly the only thing that changes by gravity is your velocity. Your mass doesn't change. So, yes, he's clearly stating that whatever you're going to do to your velocity, you're going to do to your motive force.
Celerity does the motion. For the quantity of motion, quantity of motion, moment.
Yeah, so the quantity of motion is another way of saying that the actual number, if you're going to give it a number, okay? So when he uses quantity of motion, he's saying what is the value of the motion. All right, let's give it an explicit value. So it's the difference between saying something like foot-pounds and saying something like just momentum.
Arises from the celerity, velocity, drawn into the quantity of matter.
So you said velocity, you didn't say acceleration. So again, it's just, you're just playing games with the words.
Yeah, momentum arises from velocity drawn into the quantity of matter.
Yeah, exactly. A change in your velocity. You want to use something that says per second. When, no, it's just velocity. It's just a change in your velocity. It's 60 miles an hour. It's not 60 miles an hour per hour.
And B. And the motive force, see, this is the word he uses in the second law. He says the motive force impress. The motive force arises from the accelerative force drawn into the same quantity of matter. MA. This MA. This
again, so you're going to sit there and say that that's what he's saying when he's obviously, in my opinion, okay, talking about the force, not the object. He's talking about the motive force. He's not talking about the object's momentum. He's talking about the force that gave it momentum. And obviously that equals MA.
The motive force arises from the accelerative force drawn into the same quantity of matter. So I made some notes trying to emphasize this.
Right, you're trying to emphasize what I think the next sentence destroys. Okay, so whatever. You're just playing, again, you're just playing a word game. It's clear Newton is saying there's a clear relationship between the force and the change in the momentum, and that's all there really is. And that's when he actually draws the mathematical formula. The formula is clear. It doesn't say F equals MA. It says F equals a change in your momentum over whatever period of time you wish to measure that change in.
He says it again a little bit later. He says, the accelerator.
You ought to get a better microphone, frankly.
Gravity is less, the weight would be equally diminished and would always be the product of the body by the accelerative.
So again, he's using the word weight, all right, which again, the whole thing was measured in foot pounds back then. So clearly, the relationship between the force and weight is being kind of made clear here. He's pointing out that gravity gives things weight. All right, and he clearly is just saying that you go twice, you know, the distance in gravity. If you cut the gravity in half, you're essentially cutting the mass in half. He makes that point kind of clearly. So what is this? It says right here, so in these regions where the accelerator of gravity is diminished into one half, the weight of the body 2 or 3 times less will be 4 to 6 times less. So he's just saying if it weighs 50 pounds, it's gonna have much less velocity, momentum. That's the wrong way to put it. Much less velocity. I mean momentum, not velocity alone. Because you reduce the masses, it's going to be proportional. So he's just describing the same proportionality again. No mv squared in sight. No evidence that he believes in any squared velocity function. He doesn't say you're going to weigh, 4 times as much.
Accelerative gravity. Because he's describing the force diminishing when you are far away from the Earth, like a really high, the weight is decreased when you are really high up. So he's describing that, and he says the product of the body by the accelerative gravity. But he's defining F equals ma. No.
So you can keep saying that, and what he's defining is that obvious velocity is the only thing you're changing. You're not changing the mass of the object, you're just changing its velocity. So he's making that clear relationship. But it doesn't change the fact that there's no disproportion in the effect. It's clear he's arguing for a clearly explicit equality in the effect. Double the force, double the action. Reduce the force by a half, you reduce the action by a half.
The motive force, right? That's what he called it. In the second law, let's go back to the second law, he says, the alteration of motion is ever proportional to the motive force. He doesn't say the quantity of motion, he says the motive force.
Okay, so there's really absolutely no real distinction between him saying motive force and quantity of motion. It's the same thing. So you can play the word game, but I think Newton would be comfortable with that, either stated either way.
Right. So the motive force is proportional to the change in momentum. Right. Because
yeah, right, and there's no squared term.
Because you have an object that is going, hold on, God damn it. So, then here, so you have an object of.
I haven't heard this part yet. So. We'll see what this. There was nothing. There's no argument in here. Okay, he's just playing a semantics game. You can't argue with the explicit text right here. Okay, if any force generates a motion, a double force would generate a double the motion. A triple force, triple the motion. Whatever that force be impressed altogether, or whether the force be altogether at once or gradually and successively. So he's saying whether it's over time or whether you're doing the complete amount of force. This holds, okay? And this motion being always directed in the same way as the generating force, if the body, okay, you can't read the rest of this, but he's clearly stating it's equal.
Some mass is going some velocity. To change his motion, to change his momentum, what do you need to do? To either change the mass or change the velocity. The object we always speak of objects that have the same mass, but change in velocity. So if you change the velocity, that called? That's called accelerating or
Damn video keeps bugging. This is really irritating. This computer should be working better than this.
Accelerating. So it is proportional. Acceleration and velocity are proportional. So that's why.
So again, it's the acceleration is just a portion of velocity, all right? And again, the argument is that you're using a squared function of acceleration, acceleration per second, all right, and arguing that somehow that function has something to do with the net force or the force per second. So again, you're just violating the T he put in the equation and pretending that a rate is a net when it isn't, or a rate is a sum when it isn't.
Oh, he's saying, he's not saying mass equal, no mass, force equals mv. He's saying
the change in the mv. That's what he's saying, and you're perverting it. So just stay with his formula. Start with the force equals the change in the momentum. And then try to make your square term. You can't do it. So if you just leave it alone, you can't make your fake math work.
That momentum is proportional to force. And the force is defined as mass times acceleration, as it's defined already.
So again, you're not explaining how it could be proportional and at the same time there could be a squared function. That wouldn't be proportional.
In definition 8, you gotta redefinition it completely to get that. You gotta read definition 2. Those two definitions come before the law so that you may understand. That's what he defined. You define something like in a computer program.
No, and if you go before those definitions, he points out how I don't have a description of what this stuff is made out of, okay? So he has definitions of space and time and all of that stuff, and he's basically quite ambiguous about what any of it actually is. And he's just trying to explain how he uses the term. And what he clearly does is when he uses the term motion, he's talking about its momentum. He's not talking about its velocity. When he's saying something has motion, he's saying it has mass and velocity. He's saying it has momentum.
You define the variables, and then you use them. So he's doing that. He made the definition, then he states the law so that you may understand it. So you're wrong when you say...
No, I'm not wrong. You're wrong, and you're defending absolute crap, and you're evading the fundamental arguments that prove it's absolute crap. So again, demonstrate how a lever works. You show me how a lever doesn't convert momentum. It doesn't conserve momentum. Explain it, show it, do that, okay? And quit playing these stupid little word games.
That is not Newton's math, F equals ma.
It's not his math. It's not how he did the math.
Newton makes a different differentiation between the two. So that's all the points I wanted to get across. Hopefully he got across.
There's no point here, except you're saying that when he says... motive force, or if he says quantity of motion, that those aren't the same thing. Bullshit. But whatever. This is just such evasion. Clearly, the only reason why the square term exists is because they have turned the word acceleration into something different than obviously Newton thought of it as. Acceleration was merely the change in your velocity. That's all it was. It wasn't, momentum. And there's nothing else to it. And again, it's only because they use this silly language of per second, and then write that as a squared term. They write per second as second squared. And it's clearly not second squared. It just means that if there's 3 seconds, then it's per second times 3, or per second times 10. There's a certain number of seconds you're in the gravity. Okay, you're not in a squared number of seconds. You're not accelerating for a squared number of seconds. So it's just a gimmick. And you want to defend it, that's your prerogative. If you want to stand on this mush you published, go ahead and stand on it. I'm saying the facts and the truth, okay, will defeat it. There is nothing in Newton's mechanics that defend 1/2 mv squared. No rational derivation of Newton's understanding of motion and what caused it can create 1/2 mv squared. It's only created out of a silly notion that somehow you don't understand how gravity works. That gravity is a time-dependent force, not a distance-dependent force. It's about how long you're in the force, not frickin' about how far you travel in the force. It's a paint sprayer, and it just couldn't care less, okay, how fast you move around in the spray. It just cares about how long you're in the spray. If I can pause and get away with it. Alright, so let's try to do some of these other comments, I guess. Oh, Jesus. Anyway, what vape you use. I just wish you people would get that I really don't want to do this. Okay, this side subject shit, this bullshit that doesn't matter. I mean, this is just stupid kind of question to ask somebody on. There's absolutely no evidence that I have the secret to vaping. Okay, now I just use whatever I got. Look at this piece of shit. You see this piece of shit? Yeah, I just stick wires in the bottom of it and, you know, burn it until it burns out. So I'm just burning pieces of crap that will make vape so I can inhale some nicotine. That's it. That's what I use. I mean, I'm really pissed off that you can't buy any of this shit on Craigslist or eBay because of all these fanatic lunatics. Right, who can't tell the difference between actually burning a cigarette. They'd rather I burn cigarettes because then I can pay them money. Okay? they want to tax it. And that's all it's about, is making their tax dollars. It's not about anybody's health or doing anybody a favor. It's just disgusting. All right, and then somebody says, this is boring. Well, fuck you. I hope it bores you to actual death. Okay? Realistically, I mean, if I was to say, hey, gee, what do I really hope? I hope all the assholes on the planet would just drop dead. I really do hope that. Now, I don't think that's against the law. Now, maybe they can make it against the law. Maybe they'll find some way to say you're not allowed to hope assholes to death. But yes, I just hope you drop dead, okay? Because you're a jackass and an idiot and a time waster. All right? So what? You're bored. Go somewhere else. Duh. It's not my job to direct you in your life and explain to you, well, if you don't like getting hit by cars, don't walk in the traffic, fuckhead. I mean, what, you have to explain hats and umbrellas to you, too? I mean, how bad are you at running your own fucking life, retard? Oh, fuck. Phew. I hope evolution does the right thing. Okay, yeah. Especially in your case. Okay. MV versus case, maybe work with this guy. Okay, so it's another, I think he's actually a college teacher, but who knows. So another professor doing, or another teacher, you know, doing explanatory videos on the internet and getting 6 views for his trouble. The people going to his class don't even apparently watch his videos, which is just really tragic that he can't even get the people to go to the school to be interested enough to just click on it and see what he's doing. I mean, it sort of just amazes me that if I was going to high school now and the other teachers for other classes I weren't taking all had videos online, I'd certainly be interested enough to just click on them and see what they're teaching. I mean, it would just be interesting to know what other people classes they're taking or whatever these classes are like. It's just kind of funny that you can't even get them to click on the damn videos. All right. No, the half mass will not have double the velocity. So apparently this is in the case of the lever. Okay, the spring's energy, so that's on the lever. So this is an experiment Brozo actually did, and he actually got the results completely consistent with momentum. So again, so he's going to argue with a Brozo experiment and say it's, oh, Brozo did it wrong. Will be absorbed the greater moment of inertia. So again, there is no moment of inertia. There is no such thing as inertia. There's no resistance to movement. If you want something to move, you just have to ask it to with giving it the motion. Nothing resists being rich. This thing is saying, give me money and I'll take it. Please, give me your money. There's no person. It's like saying the homeless person has an inertia against being rich. No, he doesn't. He's just saying, give me the money and I'll be glad to be rich. That's it. There's no inertia. There's no, nothing ever says I'm not in the mood to move. It just says you have to give it to me. And if I'm very, very fat, big, you're going to have to give me a lot, okay, to see the movement. Because I can't move the same speed you're going. The boulder can't move the same speed as the little pea. The pea speed has to be converted into the boulder speed, okay? It has to do the momentum conversion. But there's no inertia. It's just bullshit. Moment of inertia because the half mass greater distance from the axis of rotation. Exactly, it's a half mass further out, and by the explicit laws of the lever, okay, it's going to move twice the distance. Jeez, it's going to have twice the velocity. All right. It's the reason why tightrope walkers use very long balance bars. No, the reason why they use very long balance bars is because they can create artificial mass. The length means that the bar itself, they're using the bar as a weight. So the bar isn't some infinitesimally thin bar. They use a pretty beefy bar. And the fact is the bar, you know, I bet you, if you examine these bars, they're heavier at the ends than they are in the middle. So they're weighted, okay? They're drilled, and there's probably lead in the ends. Because the whole point is to put the mass as far away from the guy as possible to increase its weight. So now he's holding something that only weighs 10 pounds, but its motion will equal 100 pounds. The motion will require 100 pounds of pressure. So now he can make a very light object act as a very heavy object when you try to move it. No surprise. But that's why it works. It's not because any moment of inertia problem. The problem is you're moving mass at a higher velocity. And to do that, you have to put in more energy. All right, the Mythbusters result was correct. Yes, for momentum. Okay, so that's funny. Doubling the clay compression distance represents four times the required energy. So again, it's just a lie. The Mythbusters result was correct. Where? Where's the evidence of any correct? There was no evidence of four times the energy. None whatsoever. There was clearly 100 miles an hour, twice as much crushing as 50. No evidence of any extra energy. All right, the clay did exactly the same thing. Twice the speed, twice the impact. No four times. How can you even say that? The Mythbusters result was correct. Doubling the clay compression distance represents four times the required energy. How does it do that? How does it represent it? How does it show it? How does it indicate it? That's the most bizarre, silliest thing I've ever heard. How the fuck can you say it has four times the energy, but it only looks like twice? You collected it. The whole point of doing the experiment was to collect the energy by measuring how much compression it creates. I mean, these people are just such pieces of shit. All right, got to Mindless Marvel, so I already did this comment. And, you know, a video basically pointing out how bad physics is with no counter-argument. All right. So there was one jerky comment. I guess I'll go to the jerky comment, you know, on here. It's just such a mess of a comment that it's like, oh, why bother, Gary? All right, here it is. So, obviously, another person who shows up here, watches one video, you know, it's just, NASA scientist proves general relativity wrong. Okay, so I don't think they did any of this thing called a proof. Okay, all they can do is say that some of the evidence that they're saying something about isn't what they say it is. That's the truth, okay? So he's talking about Edward Doughty, and the fact is what he's demonstrating is that NASA doesn't have any evidence of light being bent. outside the lamb of the sun. So outside the noisy bits of the sun, there is no evidence of light bending. Okay, movie clip from Einstein wrong. Dr. Edward Dowdy, a former NASA physicist, says, "I believe if Einstein were alive today, he would take advantage of the modern techniques of the modern instruments we have, and he would wind up disproving his own theory." Right, so that's his opinion. That's not a proof of anything. I would argue if Einstein was alive today, he'd be at my house, okay, and we'd be talking about how cool it is to really get what the fuck a photon is. But anyway, there's no question that if Einstein were alive today, he would... Why are you saying the same thing again? "Yet there is reason why Einstein near 100-year-old theories have stood the test of time." No, they haven't stood. It's all propaganda. They have no evidence, okay? The evidence is always an exaggeration and a lie. They say they have other experiments that show light bending, but all the other experiments are tainted because they're not outside the lamb of the sun. They're not outside the corona of the sun. So they're not outside the simple explanation of just saying, well, obviously a bunch of particles will scatter light. We already know that happens. Light is scattered by small particles. That's a proven truth. So obviously if the sun is producing a bunch of little particles, one could argue that there's no point in looking through the atmosphere of the sun and say, look, the light is bent. Well, of course it's bent. It's bent everywhere. That's what scatter does. It bends it everywhere. So everybody gets it. And they have made Einstein the genius that he is. So again, he's not the genius that he is because he's dead. But regardless, the question is whether this whole genius word means anything. He was clearly genius in the sense that he, especially in his youth, he took what were ideas, he put them in the right order and made very coherent arguments about what the future direction is going to be. So for that alone, I'd say yes, correct, he is a genius, but he clearly wasn't right about some things. Do you agree with Dr. Dowdy's comments? I don't agree that this proves Einstein's relativity wrong. It proves that their evidence isn't what they say it is. It shows a weakness in their evidence, okay? There is no evidence that light is bent twice as much by gravity. I would argue there isn't even any credible evidence that light is bent at all by gravity, let alone twice as much. And yes, it's a completely unevidenced question. You can't answer the question by saying, well, here's the evidence, because there isn't any, because they never repeated the experiment. Let's have a healthy debate in comments below. No, I don't do that, fuckhead. I don't argue physics in comment sections. It's just retarded, in my opinion. Physics is done on drawing boards, and clearly the math is. But, I mean, a gigantic percentage of understanding physics is being able to diagram it. Physics is about geometry. Physics is about spectral relationships. Relationships between things. You have to draw them. Describing them in words is just such a waste of fucking goddamn time. 10,000 words to describe one picture you could draw in 15 seconds. Okay. Let's have a healthy debate in the comments below. Please have a look at 117.4, whatever this is. Why would I do this? Whatever this is. This is going to be bad, I know it. It's from the stupid movie, probably. It's the Dowdy quote. It won't mean anything. And it's got a commercial in it. Yeah, this is dissident science, so. This is just the DeHilster blah, 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 propaganda bullshit. So again, it's not a proof. It doesn't prove that there's no relativity theory. It just indicates that their theory isn't based on hard evidence. It's based on a bunch of mushy, circumstantial, weak evidence. Evidence that can be interpreted differently. Just like their perverse and bizarre interpretation of the double slit experiment, which is based on a bunch of prevarications, a bunch of distortions of the actual truth. Pretending that the single slit is the double slit pattern. That kind of lying and deception. And yes, Einstein's theory is defended with the same kind of distorted, hyped, exaggerated, lied about evidence. No. That's probably enough. Ugh. Yeah, I don't think there's anything else worth addressing. Let's see if I can tie all these videos together. These broken bits. Goddamn computer. It really should be working better than this. Alright. Anyway, till next time and such. I've said, I really like Linux. I've really gotten used to using it and all this kind of stuff. And it's like every time it's like it works for a while, 6 months or something, things would be going really smooth. Some little glitch, and you really just can't find what the problem. It's just too hard to diagnose a problem. And so it's a huge disadvantage in that, and it's such a pain in the ass to start over because everything has to be a little bit tinkered with to get everything working right. And it's like, I don't want to start over. Reinstall everything. Re-update everything. So it's a bit of a downer. But I can't complain. It's free and it's not Microsoft. Jeez. Yeah, it's not Microsoft. But it is too, it is disappointing that Google's essentially trying to steal it all now. Steal our alternative. Well, everything's broken by all these, this goddamn evil corporations. They're into everything in such slimy ways. eBay owns a part of Craigslist. And the whole reason why Craigslist just stays the same way it was 10 years ago. It doesn't improve. It doesn't get better. Nothing happens. It just stays stale and broken. It's because eBay wants it stale and broken. Anyway, till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. Yeah, that's enough. Get the hell out of here. All right. Yeah, I mostly left already. That's just the rest of me disappearing slowly. All right, goodbye, fuckers.